WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Lots of people are celebrating the decriminalization of pot, but it's not completely legal, and advocates say penalties still hit Virginia's black population hardest. Meanwhile, incarceration rates in rural Virginia have been spiking for years. And even as the need for solid, reliable news grows, the down economy has led local newspapers to furlough and even lay off staff, including reporters. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, July 3rd. A new law that took effect Wednesday decriminalizes possession of a small amount of marijuana, but some advocates say it's time to remove all penalties which disproportionately impact Virginia's black population. Ben Pavier with our partner station VPM reports.
Black Virginians make up about 20% of the state's population, but they accounted for around half of Virginia's marijuana possession arrests between 2007 and 2016. A new state law reduces penalties for possession to a $25 civil fine. But Democratic delegate and gubernatorial candidate Jennifer Carroll Foy says it will still show up in court records.
If we're really talking about having a fair and equitable criminal justice system, then we start by legalizing marijuana.
By that, she means eliminating all possession-related penalties for up to half an ounce. Carol Foy's bill failed earlier this year, but she plans on introducing it again in an upcoming special session. In the meantime, the legislature's research arm, JLARC, will study how Virginia might fully legalize marijuana, including the sale of cannabis for recreational use. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
A white woman in an area west of Richmond has been charged with filing a false assault report against a black couple, authorities said. Gladys Townsend, age 63, was charged Wednesday with filing a false police report. The Powhatan Sheriff's Office received an assault report from Townsend. On Tuesday, she told police a black man and woman assaulted her on the street. She said she didn't know who her assailants were, but gave deputies a description of the couple and their car. An investigation determined an assault did not occur, and Townsend later confessed to lying about the incident. It was not clear why Townsend made the false charge, but there is a long history of whites falsely accusing black people of crimes going back to before the Jim Crow era. Sheriff's deputies in Richmond on Wednesday used chemical irritants on a demonstration against the end of the moratorium on evictions in Virginia. After deputies used the chemical irritants, demonstrators threw water bottles at them and an object was thrown into the courthouse that smashed its window. Hundreds of demonstrators had gathered chanting "Eviction is violence" and other slogans as they marched from the John Marshall Courts building to the executive mansion. The ban on evictions was originally put in place in March due to the coronavirus pandemic and was later extended earlier in June. But an order issued by the state's high court last week said courts may resume hearing eviction cases on Monday. The Richmond Sheriff's Office told the Richmond Times-Dispatch two people arrested during the protest were later released on bond. Rural communities in Virginia are struggling with an aging population, stagnant job growth, and now another trend, more people behind bars. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Here's another urban-rural divide, but one you might not expect. Incarceration rates in rural Virginia jails have been spiking for years, doubling over the last 20 years. Meanwhile, pretrial incarceration has actually gone down in urban parts of the Commonwealth.
What we see is what we have started to call nationally the shifting geography of mass incarceration.
Jasmine Heiss at the Vera Institute, a nonprofit group that studies incarceration across the country. She says historically people tend to think of incarceration as primarily an urban phenomenon, something that happens in major cities.
For the last several decades, rural incarceration has been rising. In some states like Virginia, rising catastrophically as incarceration in the biggest cities declines.
She says part of the issue here is hospitals have been closing in rural areas, eliminating a social safety net for many people. And those communities don't have much of a budget for substance abuse treatment or mental health treatment.
And so increasingly across the country, particularly in resource-poor communities, jails have become sort of the first-line response to a whole range of social problems.
People tend to think of rural communities as predominantly white, but the Vera Institute also found that black people in Virginia are 3.2 times more likely to be incarcerated than white people in Virginia. Michael Pope.
Researchers at the University of Virginia say, for the first time, they have experimental evidence that exercise can reduce the severity of macular degeneration. Charles Fishburne with VPM reports.
Bradley Gelfin, researcher at UVA's Center for Advanced Vision Science, says they thought a healthy lifestyle would help slow or prevent vision loss, but they needed proof.
Our study found that exercise reduced the harmful growth of blood vessels in the eyes of lab mice by about 40%. This tangle of blood vessels is a key contributor to macular degeneration and several other eye diseases.
The research was funded by the National Institutes of Health, and they are seeking new grants to learn more.
We want to know why and how it happens and see if we can develop a pill for people too old to exercise.
10 million, mostly older Americans, suffer from macular degeneration. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Finally today, local newspapers have felt the sting of the economic downturn. Many have been furloughing and even laying off staff, including reporters. WMRA's Mike Tripp has the story.
For culture reporter Aaron O'Hare, it seemed like any other day at Charlottesville's Seaville Weekly. Staff had just finished sending the publication to press just hours before.
A little before 3 o'clock on Tuesday, June 9th, I got a call from our publisher basically telling me that I was being let go. And as I was on the phone with her, I started getting a bunch of text messages asking, what is going on over there? What's happening? Are you okay? So as I'm getting let go, I'm seeing the news of who else is being let go through text message because it's already on Twitter.
How did she take the news?
I kind of blacked out during that conversation. I don't remember much of it because I was so shocked and so upset. Then I pretty much just cried for the rest of the afternoon. I loved that job.
With the loss of her position came another reality, the financial fallout.
They left me in a really bad spot with 3 days severance.
She wasn't alone.
It was myself, then Laura Longhine, and Bill Lasore, creative director. They laid off a bunch of folks on the advertising side as well.
How does this change things?
Editorial staff had 8 people making a weekly paper and working on special publications, and now there are 5.
In a Twitter post dated June 10th, the Seaville Weekly said that it was a tough decision, and it wasn't the first time the publication had to cut staff during a recession. Even with a smaller staff, the publication tweeted that, quote, "We remain committed to bringing you the very best local independent journalism." As with most small local news outlets, the Seaville Weekly is prone to cutbacks during economic downturns, mainly because the main source of revenue, local advertisers, dries up.
I knew that our ad revenue was down because of the pandemic. I knew that we were hurting.
Catherine Knott has a similar story.
I'm an education reporter at the Daily Progress in Charlottesville.
Her publication, like many others, was forced to furlough employees.
It means you're taking an unpaid week off of work. You can't check your email. You're not checking your phone calls. You're barred from work. I view it as being benched.
A furloughed employee can file for unemployment. Pete DeLea, a reporter with the Daily News Record in Harrisonburg, said he couldn't speak on the record for this story, but he's been outspoken on social media about the furloughs there. In a recent tweet, he called out the publisher's unwillingness to, quote, dip into their savings for you, but you should dip into yours for them. Knott, of the Daily Progress, says the furloughs hurt morale.
I mean, they've certainly been demoralizing in a lot of ways because we all rather be out covering the many news stories and news crises that are happening right now.
I mean, on the one hand, I completely understand that news organizations are businesses and have to meet the bottom line.
Brad Jenkins serves as internship coordinator for James Madison University's School of Media Arts and Design, and he's also general manager of The Breeze, JMU's weekly student newspaper. He's also a former reporter and editor of the Daily News Record.
I understand that they're trying to find ways to save on cost, and obviously personnel is going to be one of your biggest costs. It is discouraging in a time when we need the media maybe more than ever as we're facing a pandemic and racial unrest and economic crisis. We need an independent media to give us the information that we need about those things.
Gannett, which owns the Daily News Leader in Stanton, seems to agree. Mary Bell Wadsworth, Gannett's president of news and the publisher of USA Today, stated in a recent memo that beginning July 6, reporters for the company's papers, including USA Today, will be exempt from furloughs. It also said, quote, "We must bring our reporting firepower back to full strength as we juggle the enormity of 3 major events, the pandemic, the fight for social justice, and the looming election." The reporters at the News Leader have already faced furloughs this year.
I guess if I were a reporter, yeah, I'd rather be furloughed for a couple weeks than completely laid off and not have a job at all.
Now enter something new at the Daily Progress, a union, the Blue Ridge News Guild.
We essentially formed in October to have a voice at the table and so that we could have some sort of say in the big decisions that were going to happen.
Catherine Knott says the union also recognizes it's a difficult time for newspapers, but they also feel journalism has never been more important.
Our belief is that local news is stronger when companies invest in its workforce.
Some of them have also joined together to create the Virginia is for Journalist Relief Fund.
We launched the relief fund in early April. We've raised nearly $25,000.
So far, the fund has helped 19 journalists responding to requests for help with rent, grocery bills, cell phone bills, utilities.
It's journalists helping journalists, and we have assistance, and we're more than willing to help more people.
Despite repeated emails, publisher Peter Yates of the Daily Progress did not respond to requests for an interview. And publisher Craig Bartoltson of the Daily News Record, which is owned by Ogden Newspapers based in West Virginia, chose not to speak on the record for this story. For WMRA News, I'm Mike Tripp.
Before becoming a freelance journalist, Mike Tripp himself underwent furloughs as a staff photographer at Gannett's Newsleader in Stanton, where he was finally laid off in January 2019. We are grateful he's now reporting for WMRA News. And that story is a reminder that if you want reliable local news in your community, be sure to subscribe to your local paper and support your favorite local public radio station, too. Maybe that's WMRA. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting us. And stay safely connected. And I hope you enjoy your Independence Day weekend.